In the Old Testament, Psalm 84, the 8th verse reads, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Then the 10th verse reads, For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of your word today. God, just let us with open hearts, open minds, receive what you'd have for each and every one of us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. 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 Before we get started, what a thrill it is to have folks that come in and just to be a part of it. And on Thursday night, once again, I go back about how impressed I was to see just people. We had people, every pew was filled. We had chairs down the aisle. We had chairs over on the side. We had people who came to the back of the church here to walk in, couldn't get in, had to come in, come up the stairs on the side. We're sitting in the office on, and they were simply enjoying the Spirit of a living God. Brother Mark Trammell, he's a good friend, and just to have a gentleman like that is probably one of the top five groups in Southern Gospel, and have him to continue to come for the last 12, 13 years here to Mount Calvary. It blesses our souls. When you get together with God's people in his house, when you start to sing songs of amazing grace and how sweet the sound, when you hear there is a sweet, sweet spirit, it should touch you. It should touch your heart. There's so many things out there that go by so quickly, so fast. But if you can simply just take a few moments, come into God's house, expecting him to do something good for you in your life, he's going to do it. He is going to do it. There are two things that you're waiting for today. Number one, you're waiting for the hot. Somebody told me when we had a little break here, lady came up and she said, my goodness, how fortunate I am today. I came when there's free hamburgers and hot dogs. I just love being around God's house when those days happen. And then I know later on that you're getting ready for the beginning of that winning season for the Washington Redskins. Herbie, are you with me back there?
I'm with you.
There you go. You're with me back there, Herbie. Whoop, I forgot to take up an offering, did I? You want to do it now or later? I don't make all decisions around this church, just to let you all know. We'll do it later. We'll do that later. I always forget something. I was reminded, there was some years ago I heard about, it was near the opening football season, and a fairly famous baseball player had entertained a professional football player from the Dallas Cowboys into his home. And his wife had been so kind to prepare a meal, and as that meal was being prepared, there was a cry that came out from one of the rooms. It was one of those cries that let you know that there was a diaper that needed to be changed. So the story was told that the wife came out with a casserole dish and she said, honey, would you be so kind to go change the diaper? And here he was talking to his macho football friend about the progress and looking forward to the season. And he says, I'm a baseball player. I don't know anything about changing diapers. She set that casserole dish down. She put her hands on her hips and she started to communicate. She said, Buster, let me tell you something. It's just like baseball. You take first base and hook it over to the mound. Then you go over to third base and you hook it to the mound. You come down below home plate and you hook it up to the mound. And then you slide the little bottom in there. And if it rains, you don't cancel a game. You just start all over again. It's amazing me what I think of on a Sunday morning sometimes. Today, it is my desire to communicate to you a question. And that question is church necessary? You have things in your life that you need to do. You have responsibilities. You have things that you just got to do. And more I hear talk from people about how churches are not needed as much. And it just touched my heart when I heard someone say that they may not need me, but I need them. Boy, that just touched my heart. The question is church really necessary? I'm going to tell you a little bit about this church. There are people here who've been attending this church for a long time. There's some have just come a short period of time. There are people that have recited wedding vows here in this sanctuary. There are people who shed many a tear. There are people who've laughed and just experienced the joy of the Lord here in this sanctuary. This building was built in about 1901. This was the original Franconia Methodist Church. In about 1954, the church building was purchased, and Franconia Assembly of God was here for 25 years. 25 years. Then on, I believe it was January 21st, 1979, the building was purchased by Mount Calvary Community Church, pastored by Brother Ed Campbell. He was my buddy. Brother Ed Campbell was one of the finest Christian men that I have ever met in my life. In the few times that his wife Evelyn allowed him to speak freely, for those of you who knew Evelyn, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Glory. Sing it, boys, glory. He was a mentor to me. I attended school here at Luther Rice, transferred up to Valley Forge Christian College, and had graduated in 1978. And it probably will surprise you immensely, but during the time that I was up in Pennsylvania, Valley Forge, I sang a little bit. One year, traveling for the school, I traveled 27 weekends. I just loved the home-cooked meal. They'd send you on the road, you'd go into a small church, somebody would put you up, and they would make you a meal. Bye, Alice. Take care. Take care, Alice. Okay. In that same year, I came and I met Bye, Hattie. Bye. Anybody else want to leave now? Go ahead. Bye, Bill. As I'm speaking to the few of you that are left, that year I met Ed Campbell, and we formed just a great, great friendship and relationship. And I have been very fortunate. I traveled to many churches. I'd sung in small churches. I'd sung in churches around New York City that seated 3,000. But I'd come somewhat disillusioned with some of the things about churches that I didn't like. I got to see all the behind-the-scenes stuff. I got to see all those politics. I got to see all those things that just were not right. And I just started to have a bit of a jaded opinion. And thanks be unto God, I met Ed Campbell. And he and his wife, Evelyn, they just loved you for who you were. And they basically... They may have left, but I can still hear them. Can you hear them? Can you shut that door and as loud as you can say, shh? Thank you, Terry. And in my relationship with Ed, we just enjoyed the Spirit of the Lord. Ed loved to sing. Without him, I could do nothing. And every time I'd come in, he said, brother, come on up and just sing. Don't worry. Just sing. Just sing. In the year 2002, at September, just a day or two in the month from now, Ed Campbell down at the National Quartet Convention in that Freedom Hall in Louisville. As he was walking up over in the 203 section, he fell backwards down a set of concrete stairs. For the next 6 months, the recovery was very slow. We got him back in church a couple times, and then in April of 2003, I buried Brother Ed Campbell, my buddy. That time he said, and the folks that were here said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I made that statement and said, well, I'll hold it together until you find somebody. And God has richly blessed us here. Why? Because of the people that he has sent us. The people that he has sent us are not perfect. Because if they were, don't point fingers, just listen to the sermon, brother. Because if they were, I definitely would have no right to stand in front of you. But I'm amazed about how, in a world that has so many challenges, a world that is filled with questions, a world that is going faster and faster and faster and faster all the time. Everybody's on the go, go, go trail. Everybody wants to be first. Everybody wants to get there faster. Everybody wants to do. How I believe that we need the calmest and the warmth and the care and the understanding of church. I feel that we need church. Now, I'm not talking about just this building here. I'm talking about God's people gathering in God's houses all across this great land, lifting up the name of Jesus. We need church. We've taken a pill for every ill. We've been to psychiatrists and we've tried artificially and superficially and all the other officialies when so many times we just simply need to feel God's presence in your life. I have never seen a time where mankind can be just so cruel towards mankind. I know again with this week with how sad the stories that you see, the journalist who was decapitated. I have never in my life seen such evil one to another. The answer, we need church. We need to be grounded in something that is far greater than any individual. You need to come in, you need to open up God's Word. You need to read that I had rather be a doorkeeper for a day in the house of my God than to dwell for 1,000 days in the house of wickedness. I believe that there is power still in church. As God's people come in and they simply worship in spirit and in truth. And we're a small church. A lot of you have jobs to do in the small church, and I thank God for that. If you leave it up to me, it's going to be forgotten. I'll forget to take up an offering, brother. Don't you? But I'm amazed about even if you don't have a title and even if you don't have a job to do, they that simply stand and wait upon the Lord are a blessing. Just by your mere presence here, just by your prayers, just to have that opportunity to come in, to feel something, to be greeted by a smile, by a handshake. It is said here at Mount Calvary that one of our goals are to bring comfort to the brokenhearted, to share with the lonely. And you may not be brokenhearted, you may not be lonely, but I believe that God has something special for you. I saw it on Thursday night when over 200 people were in here. Anybody that works for the fire marshal office, it's the only one we don't invite to the concert. And I saw so many faces from so many different churches who were together in one mind, one spirit, and one accord, just lifting up the name of Jesus. I saw burdens being lifted at Calvary. And I myself had the wonderful opportunity for 4 hours to sit in a golf cart and ride around with my buddy Mark Trammell. We hit shots. Some good, some not so good. But we just talked about what God was doing for him in his life. And I was telling him about the church, and I always want to ask him certain questions and kind of catch up on things in the business. And then every time I'm with him, I'm amazed about how, when I end that opportunity of spending a little time with him, how blessed I am, because he has been truly concerned about what's going on with me and my life and this church and the people here. I'm like, wow. I believe the church is necessary. I believe it has a great place. I believe that lives, when they are filled with purpose, not just to fill up on hamburgers and hot dogs, when they are filled with purpose about what God placed you on this earth for, to share one another's burdens, to be there when people are going through things that you just can't do it alone. You need God's help, and you also need the help of brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to pray for you. Not to point fingers at you, not to straighten you out. That's God's job. It's not my job. Amen, Brother Bob. If I try to straighten Bob Mumford, that'd be another full-time job. I don't know if I'd have time off for that. That's not my job. My job is to open up God's Word. My job is to share with you what He has done for me. My job is to just simply, and as truthfully as we can, share the many wonderful things that God has done for us. I close with a little story here about a mother who about a mother who was dealing with that young man who had come home, and at that age, which is a little difficult. And instead of trying to straighten him out that day, she prayed to God. She says, "You know, I am not going to let him get to me today. I'm going to be warm. I'm going to be compassionate." So her son walked in right after school. First thing, dropped the bag down, didn't say anything, right up to his room. She said, "Oh." She says, "This is the day that I have prayed. I'm not going to tell you, get your down here and straighten this up." She said, "No. I told God." So she marched up that stairs. And she walked into that room. And that young man was simply sitting on the side of his bed, and he was crying. And immediately she was caught with compassion. She says, "What is wrong?" And he says, "I have had the worst day of all." But immediately he saw the warmth in her heart. And as a day that could have been spent in yelling and cleaning and all that was spent in love and compassion and warmth. I believe that's what God calls us for, and that's what He wants us to do. And I thank God that I feel it. Just a moment, I'm going to tell somebody we love them. I don't know. Some of these sermons, okay. Some of them, not okay. I don't know. I used to listen. Terry tapes the sermons, and I used to listen to them. I listened to one, and that was enough. It was. Because I'd listen to them, I'd go, "What in the world was I thinking of when I said that?" So I stopped listening to them. I just went back to the old thing the evangelist said years ago. He said, "Don't you worry so much about the message." He said, "You worry about straightening out the messenger. If you straighten out the message will take, it'll be okay." So today, I've tried to communicate to you what I feel church is necessary in your life and in mine. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house.